today as we come to the table.
Repent and turn from it. That's step number one. The second step to restoration, again, as we said, is allow God to humble you. Be humble before the Lord. Allow God, ask God to humble you. And then when the humility comes, listen, God keeps me humble in so many ways. There are so many ways God keeps me humble. You guys have no idea. I'm so unsmooth as a person. When I get in social environments, I don't know what to say. Sometimes I shake the wrong hand. I'll trip over my shoes. I'm teaching and spit flies out or whatever, right? God does that to humble me. How can you be prideful if you have so many flaws in the flesh? I've got them everywhere. Like, it doesn't take any time to see them.
Restoration is something I think we all need in today's society. We all need forgiveness, new chances, and transformation in the name of Jesus. In today's message, Pastor Mark will teach the steps to restoration according to the Bible and according to the story you will hear about Samson. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Step one, repent from your sin. Repentance means turning the other way. We must do a full 180 from our sin. Step two, allow God to humble you and make you new. Humility is a necessity when you're ministering and simply living life. We all need humility before the Lord, but true confidence in the Lord. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 16, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Samson can't see. He's been humbled. He's lost all of his authority with God. He's lost any kind of reputation he had with the nation of Israel. He's being mocked now by the enemies of God because of his fall. The consequences are huge. But it brings us now to the second step of restoration in the process. See, understand this. Although Samson had gone through all this, God just didn't abandon Samson. God didn't say, Samson, that's what you get. Your eyes should be gouged out. Samson, that's what you get. They should trip you and spit on you and mock you and make fun of you and laugh. That, God wasn't doing that. God was saying, Samson, my son, I love you. And I'm so sorry for the pain and suffering you're going through, but I'm going to restore you. That's the heart of God. And so when God allowed him to be broken, God knew the only way Samson is going to have his heart right with me is Samson has to come to a place of brokenness and repentance. And that's why he led Samson to step number one. He allowed him to collapse. He allowed his life to fall apart. And for many of you, God will allow your life to fall apart to bring you to a place of restoration where God can say, now I'm going to restore you so you can repent. But it brings us to the second step in the process that God was taking Samson through, and that is humility. Being humbled after the fall. Here's this mighty man who had killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. And the only way he can now get around is to be led by a child. How humbling. Extremely humbling this would be. But guys, note this. Necessary to deal with the pride that led to the fall and for restoration. This is all God, part of God's process. You know, one of the things that God has to do for us, if we're ever going to be used in any magnitude for him, he's got to rid us of our pride. And you might not even know you have pride. You might be proud of the fact that you're not prideful. It's amazing how much pride we have. And I think a lot of that is from our flesh. A lot of that is from the enemy. Satan fell by pride. It's exactly how he fell. And still his arrogance and pride, he still has the audacity to fight against God, although the word of God tells him his doom. And so pride is a powerful force in the universe. The Bible says that pride comes before a fall, and God will do whatever it takes to bring us down from our high horse that we might be restored. Just ask Saul, who was literally knocked off of his horse, and God revealed himself to him. Saul was this, you know, great man of God. He was the Hebrew of Hebrews. He was the one going after the Christians. God knocks him off of his horse and says, who do you think you are? Well, Lord, let me ask this. Who are you? I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. And isn't it interesting, even as he put out Samson's eyes, what did he do to Saul? put out his eyes. Not literally gouged them out, but Saul was blind, the Bible says, for 3 days. And it's amazing when God wants to take someone that's really uppity in their pride, so to speak, and just pull away everything that would cause them to stumble, all of the thing from their eyes, maybe the way that they would conduct themselves in life. God will oftentimes pull everything away from us and leave us totally destitute. Again, I'm not going to go into my testimony, but I remember being in Nashville, and when I gave my life to the Lord, everything was gone. All my friends, everything to do with music, everything was gone. I was literally in an apartment with no furniture, living in Nashville, Tennessee, by myself, and I would go and get a can of beans or whatever, open it up, throw it in there, and that was my dinner. God was stripping me of everything I thought that was going to be great or wonderful or all that I was seeking after. I said, I've got to strip you down to the bare essentials. I've got to take you down to nothing, because that's really where you are, Mark. You just thought you were somewhere else. So now it's my job to show you where you really are and who you really are. And now once I do that, I can begin to rebuild you in me. And so God is faithful to do that. The sad thing is we still have a lot of the same struggles even after he does that. But we have to be humbled by God after our fall. If we fall, that is before Christ, hopefully after the Lord, you're not going to fall. I remember being a young Christian asking my pastor, hey, how long before I fall? He said, what? I said, how long before I fall? He said, you should never fall. I said, really? He said, yes, you'll stumble some. You're going to struggle occasionally with sin, but you should never fall. It's a whole different thing of having a stumble or a struggle or yelling at somebody, you know, in traffic or whatever, than it is to go and commit adultery or fall away from God. He said, you should never fall. And thankfully to the Lord, he's held me in place. And it's by his grace and his grace alone. And I know that if he doesn't continue to hold me in place until I die, I could fall. But the exciting news is you don't have to fall. But again, if you do, the bottom line is God will, in that restoration process of asking forgiveness and restoring you, God also has to bring you to a place of humility. I know of a pastor who fell, one of the largest churches in America. And I have some personal information about this, but he was one of the largest churches in America, a pastor that was used in amazing ways around the world, and he fell into sin. And right after he fell into sin and began to ask forgiveness and that restoration process started, he found himself in a kitchen cutting vegetables for a living. He's in a kitchen cutting up vegetables, probably cutting up meat from glory to gory, you know, because God had to bring him down and humble him into a place where he could be usable again. And you might think, why would someone who has such an extraordinary gift, worldwide ministry, one of the largest churches in America, and now he's in there with a knife cutting carrots one at a time, next some celery one at a time. It's not that that's not a good thing. Celery and carrots, I love them. I love good food. That's not the issue. But this is not what God called him to do. And how humbling it must have been. And all the time just to think while you're in there alone in that kitchen, cutting up vegetables, going, God gave me one of the largest ministries in the world. And I was a fool. And now because I was a fool, I'm cutting vegetables. Not affecting anybody's life, but maybe fixing different meals. I'm not fixing spiritual meals. At least God's allowing me to give them physical meals. And maybe one day God will restore me and bring me to a place where I can feed them spiritually again and get back to my calling. God has to humble us. And it's a process. Now Samson has been humbled. He's being led around by the hand of a child when he used to take thousands of men and kill them with the stroke of a bone, the jawbone of a donkey, doing these amazing feats. And a little boy goes, this way, sir. You got it. See, guys, this is part of the restoration process as well. When God does humble you, allow him to do it. Don't yank your hand away and say, I'm a grown man. I'm Samson. What's this child leading me around? Give me a man, you know, whatever. You know what he did? He held the child's hand and said, lead me, if you will, over to the pillars of the temple. Would you lead me? And so this humility that has to be there, if God's going to ever use us again, and it needs to be there if God's going to use us in the first place. And notice it says they stationed him between the pillars. Why is that? Because these ancient temples of these false gods oftentimes hinged on two main pillars in the temple. They would have these two main pillars that held up the upper balcony. Now, there were other things that held it up, but if those two pillars were gone, the entire building would collapse. Well, you know the story because you probably heard it in kids' church growing up, but the bottom line is now God is going to do that. He's going to bring down the entire building from these two main pillars, this structure, showing how strategic Samson was positioned. And this is neat to me because it also shows us in reality it wasn't the Philistines that placed Samson there. It was God in his sovereignty. And look at what God did for Samson. He brought him to a place of where he had to ask forgiveness and repent. Then he brought him to a place of humility, that second step of restoration. And then God now in this process of restoration is placing Samson in a strategic location where he can have a great impact against the enemy and for God. Is God through with Samson? Not at all. God is not through with Samson. Now again, he's going to go out, as they say, in a blaze of glory, and I think could have been used even more had he not lived his entire life this way. But God is still going to use Samson until the very end. God knew he would restore Samson's strength after he repented, and he positioned him in the right place to have the greatest impact. And God will do the same place for any of us who cry out to the Lord and allow God to humble us. God will put us in a position to have the greatest impact for his kingdom. And then we have to be faithful in that position that God puts us in. Notice Samson tells him here in verse 26, he said to the lad, led him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now, Samson knew what he was going to do. He knew what he had in mind. Samson knew the structure of these ancient temples, the way they were put together. And so he tells him, put me in exactly the right place where I can tear this thing down. And by the way, there is kind of a side truth here, but a strong truth in this for us as well when it comes to fighting against false temples and false gods and false religions or even false teachings. And that is, if we're going to defeat them, we have to position ourselves in a way that we can bring down the pillars that hold it up. If you're wondering, how do I deal with the Jehovah's Witness that comes to my door? How do I deal with the Mormon that comes to my door? We don't have time for this, but let me give you a couple of pillars. A Mormon comes to your door. You need to understand that the Mormons believe they one day will be a god. That's what Mormonism teaches. You will be a god. That's one of their pillars. And then it says one day they will have their own planet. And all these things, you learn what their pillars are. And when they come to the door, you're ready. Listen, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was God, it was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in verse 14. And so it's speaking of Jesus Christ. He's the Word. He was with God. He became flesh. They say they can be a God. They say that Jesus is God, but only a God. If you read their Bible, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. And they put the word A in there. There is a rule in the Greek language called the Granville-Sharp's rule that does not allow an A to be put in there. It is against the law in Greek, is the best way I know to say it. So they're being expositionally and scholastically dishonest. If you know that one thing, you can shake them up. Hey, did you know that the Greek doesn't allow for an A to be there? It's called the Granville-Sharp's rule. You might want to go back and look it up, which means it doesn't say a God. It means, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then over in verse 14, it says that, again, the Word became flesh. It says here that Jesus was God. One of their pillars now begins to get shaken. You're pushing against their pillar. And they say, well, we can be a God one day. Did you know in Isaiah chapter 43, God said, I alone am God and there is no other. Now you're pushing on another pillar. And so as they stand at your door, you're knocking these pillars down and they have to leave there thinking, what just happened? My temple just got wiped out right in front of my very eyes. And so again, Samson is now going at the pillars of this, you know, false temple, literally going to bring it down in a physical way to destroy it. But brings us to our third and last step, although we're going to make it all the way through to the end, I promise. But it brings us to our third and last step in restoration because it's here in this verse as well. And it also revolves around this little boy. And that is, since Samson could not move around successfully without having someone with him at all times to show him the way to go, it gave him around-the-clock accountability. So what is the third and final step of restoration? You need to be accountable to somebody. You need accountability in your life. Now, for those of you that have a spouse, your wife, your husband, you need to be accountable to them. Husbands, you need to let your wife into your life. Let her know what you're doing. Let her know what you're searching on the internet. You might want to give her a block. Listen, if you have fallen in internet sin, you want to have some kind of block put on your computer and probably give your wife the code so you can't go in it. Well, you're treating me like a child. Don't be prideful. Even if a child leads you, allow that to happen so that you can be restored to the Lord and have that trust rebuilt, not only with your wife, but because you've shown your flesh is weak, this is how we're restored. And so you have to find that accountability. Again, it may be a husband or a wife. He had built-in accountability because he couldn't see, and we need to build in accountability measures in our lives that keep us from falling. If it's not a husband or wife, it could be a friend that you're vulnerable with, that you let know your life. Let them know what you're doing with your time, where you're Interesting to note here that all the lords of the Philistines were there at this particular temple at this time. They had five major cities, and all the lords, all the main leaders, the lords of those different regions were here at this thing to celebrate the capture of Samson and to make fun of Samson and to celebrate their God. Look how God has set them up, because now God is going to kill all their leadership. How long do you think it's going to take the Philistines to regroup and be a threat to the nation of Israel? This was part of the delivery for the nation of Israel, taking out the leaders of the enemy. And so God is using Samson in a great way again, not only to kill 3,000 people at one time, but to take out the leadership of the Philistines in the midst of it. And it says, then Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray." What a great prayer. "Strengthen me, I pray, just this once. Give me that strength back again, God, one more time, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines from my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on the right and the other on the left. And then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all of his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it, so that the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. How sad that Samson had to give his life to make his final stand against the Philistines, when if he had simply been obedient to God, God would have given him the victory without losing his life or his eyes. But how sweet of God, although he did all that, to restore him and bring him to a place where he could once again have the greatest victory he ever had against the enemy his entire life. He killed more in this one act than he'd killed his entire life. But notice, here's the difference. Why was this so effective? Notice what has happened now. We saw the fall of Samson. We've seen the repentance of Samson. We've seen the humility of Samson as that second step of restoration. We've seen the accountability of Samson, where now he's basically can't even get around without someone else's help. But notice what a difference we see now because of all of that in Samson's heart after his fall and his restoration. Instead of crying out, "God, save my life," like he did after defeating the 1,000 Philistines, "God, save my life, don't let me die," this time what does he say? "Let me die." And this is the key to victory against our flesh. This is the key to victory in the Lord. Not, "Lord, save me. Lord, let me die." Now, again, we're not going to be saying that for physical death like Samson was. But there's a picture of the spiritual thing going on here in Samson's life and what the Holy Spirit is showing us, and that is we need to die to ourselves if we're going to have victory over sin and flesh. Instead of seeking to save our life and living for self, we realize we must die to our life and self and live for what God wants. Jesus said, "If you try to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you're going to find it." I love it. And Samson, again, as he learned to die to himself, had the greatest victory in his entire life that God gave him. And notice what it says here in verse 31. It says, "And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. How interesting, in this last verse here, Samson's entire life, we saw him going down to Timnah, down to Gaza, always headed down in everything that he did. Now, for the first time in Samson's life, Scripture mentions that he went up, and that is, that was his dead body, as they took his body and took it up to the place where he was going to be buried. And how sad it is that the first time the Bible mentions Samson going up is after he died. But how exciting it is when we learn to die to self, the Bible shows us that's when we're headed in the right direction. It's death to self. Guys, your flesh can't be reformed. All these reformation things of the flesh and these reformation and the self-help books, the answer for our flesh is death, not reformation. God didn't say, renew your flesh, restore your flesh, make it like it what used to be. You mean when it was born in sin? Yeah, like that. We were born in sin. You can't get any better with your flesh than being back to where you were born in sin. You simply have to die to it. "God, you've got to kill my sinful desires. You've got to take away the fleshy things in my life that are destroying me." That's the answer. And the first time that we go up as Christians should not be at our death. It should be as we're serving the Lord. We should always be moving upward throughout our life. Guys, as we finish the life of Samson, I so obvious here, God has put in this passage the steps of restoration. And so as we finish, I want to ask you this and challenge you this. Do you need to be restored today? And you might say, "Well, I haven't fallen, but I need to be restored." Well, you may be restored to the relationship you used to have. Maybe there's no sin in your life, but you're just not really with God where you used to be. Maybe you do have major sin in your life and you realize right now, I need to be restored. Then God has given us the steps. Listen, three easy steps to restoration. Number one, you need to ask God to forgive you today, and you need to repent, which means turn from your sin. Ask God to forgive you, then go home and take care of business. Whatever it is you've got to do to stop the sin that's coming in your life, take care of it. If it's blocking channels on the TV, if it's throwing magazines away, if it's putting new blocks on the internet, if it's breaking off a relationship that is just friendly at the moment, but you know is heading a wrong direction, take care of business today. Repent and turn from it. That's step number one. The second step to restoration, again, as we said, is allow God to humble you. Be humble before the Lord. Allow God, ask God to humble you. And then when the humility comes, listen, God keeps me humble in so many ways. There are so many ways God keeps me humble. You guys have no idea. I'm so unsmooth as a person. When I get in social environments, I don't know what to say. Sometimes I shake the wrong hand. I'll trip over my shoes. I'm teaching and spit flies out or whatever, right? God does that to humble me. How can you be prideful if you have so many flaws in the flesh? I've got them everywhere. Like, it doesn't take any time to see them. And so I live them constantly. They're in front of me. And so the bottom line is, I need that humbling. But rather than fighting it and saying, poor me, and I'm no good, and I fell all the time, and I just go, Lord, all right, this is who I am. I'm Mark. I'll always be Mark. I want you to take me to something greater in the kingdom in you, but I'm not going to try to be somebody I'm not. I'm going to be real, and here's who I am. Let's do this thing. And if you do that and allow God to humble you, God can use you. Humility is not walking around with your head down all the time. It's having confidence in God, even your head up. But it's understanding who we are and who God is. That's who it is. That's what true humility is. And the last step, accountability. Guys, be accountable. Be accountable to your wife, husbands. Be accountable to your husband, wives. Share with each other. Say, we need to talk more. I need to let you know what's going on in my life. I need to let you know my struggles. I'll go to Tracy and say, you know what? I'm being tempted right here in this area. Would you pray for me? That's a healthy thing to do. There's nothing wrong in that. Or find a friend. Find someone you can be accountable to, and you'll find yourself being free in the Lord. But the last thing, and then we'll pray after this, the last thing I want all of us to grasp today is this. As we finish the life of Samson, note this. No matter how badly we've lived our life, how much we've blown it, even if we wait until the last moments of life, we can still turn to God and be forgiven and even used if we come in humility and repentance. And God will do that for everyone in here today. Ask his forgiveness. Allow yourself to be humbled. Make yourself accountable, and God will use you for his glory. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your faithfulness, and Lord, just being transparent. I pray you'd make us transparent as believers. No games, no heroes. We're just Mark and Joe and Susie and Ed and Lisa. We're just people, but we're your children, and we love you. And yes, God, you put us in different positions. You've made me the pastor of this fellowship. But God, I'm no different than the person that sweeps the front hall. As a matter of fact, I should be that person from time to time. We're a family. We're all one in you. We all have different calls, different responsibilities, but we're a family. Help us to conduct ourselves in that way. And God, I pray for any this morning that need to be restored, that right now you would just move in their heart to ask forgiveness, to be truly repentant before you.
Thank you for joining us today in this interesting passage of Judges. Here on Come to the Table, Pastor Mark Kirk is working his way through this Old Testament book. And there are lessons for us to learn from these people who lived during that time. Samson is one of the last judges mentioned in this book. And he had quite a tale. He was meant to live as a Nazarite, committing himself to the Lord and the Lord's things. But he had a straying eye that led him straight to all the wrong women. He was drawn toward Philistine women, who tricked him more than once, and ultimately led to his downfall. But did you know that God mentions Samson in the book of Hebrews, when he refers to many people who had great faith? When you think of the faith heroes of the Bible, Samson is probably not going to make your short list, right? But in God's eyes, he sees things differently. That should be an encouragement for you today, as you may not see yourself as anything, but God sees you differently and uniquely. He recognizes strengths in you that you may not even be able to observe from your perspective. Keep these things in mind today as you go about the day, whether you feel purposeful in what you're doing or if you're wondering what in the world God is doing, he's there with you. and He is for you, excited to see your faith lived out. That's all for today's teaching, but we invite you to go to thewaymedia.net, where you can be directed to our church's service times. Just click on the Calvary Knoxville link. Once more, our website is thewaymedia.net. We look forward to you joining us again for Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.